you, Master, for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of relationship. We ask that you bless everyone here today, that nobody lives here the same way they have come. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. The best place to be is the presence of the Lord. Welcome somebody to God's presence this morning as you take your seat. Please. Welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I believe that this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in this day. Say amen. By looking at a very important subject this morning, we started in the first service titled Forces of Destiny. And this will be part two. Our objective is to understand the forces that come to play for destiny to happen. What forces come to play for destiny to happen? Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 5. God speaking to Jeremiah said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. I have a purpose for you. And you are going to fulfill that purpose." Somebody say a loud amen. I said in the first service that most working entities, they have an interplay of systems or forces that make them work. Functional entities. Forces come to play to make them work. If you look at the government, for example, you have the executive, you have the legislative, you have the judiciary that come to play. And then, of course, you have the public service, the military and paramilitaries, all coming together to make government function. You look at the human body, you have what is called the central nervous system, the brain, the spinal cord, the nerves. You have the respiratory system, the cardiovascular system, the heart and the vessels. You have the gastrointestinal system, what we call the alimentary system. You have the genitourinary system. These are systems that come into play to ensure that a human body is functioning. If the central nervous system or the respiratory system or the cardiovascular system, if one is not working, then there is an impairment. In the same manner as the human body systems, they are showing us right there. In the same manner, there are forces that must work for a human life and destiny to happen. And we're going to itemize them one by one. The force number one is the force of spirituality. We have said many things in the first service. I'm not going to repeat the things I said in the first service. And so please, you can go through the first service message so we can get the full picture of the messages. And when we are talking about spirituality, we are talking about the force of devotion or dedication to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and in verse 6, the Bible 26:5, the Bible was talking about the man called King Uzziah.
The Bible said he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. And when I'm talking of destiny, I'm not talking of the ambition a man has. I'm talking of what God wants you to become. So please note the following. That spiritual root determines destiny fruit. Everybody's root determines their fruit. Spiritual root determines destiny fruit. Secondly, spiritual root determines destiny rise or height. Because if you need the height of an iroko tree, you must have the root of an iroko. Spiritual root determines destiny rise. Thirdly, spiritual root determines destiny reach. The extent to which a man's destiny can reach. It determines destiny reach. Number four. Heart for God determines height in life. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord. And finally, number five, the pursuit of God equals the possession of good. The pursuit of God equals the possession of good. He pursued God in the days of Zechariah. You look at examples of people like David in Psalm 27 verse 4. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, not two, not three, not four." And we saw how the life of David ended. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. David speaking said, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Beloved brothers and sisters, every time the devil wants to ruin your destiny, he ruins your relationship with God. He ruins your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is key to your results in life. He ruins it. If you are interested in your future, do what you can to be interested in your relationship with God. Somebody say a loud amen. When we grew up in life, many people thought we were doing church too much. They thought we were wasting our time with God. I knew people with hanky-panky kind of relationship with God. Many of them didn't amount to so much.
And they see us today. And they are shocked. Beloved, your spirituality is your force, number one. Number two is mentality. I said in the first service that when we talk about mentality, it's a combination of two things. It is mindset for living and vision for the future. Mindset for living and your vision for the future. Mindset for living and vision for the future. These two things. How you see life. What you think about tomorrow. These two things, they affect your destiny. Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Life literally issues from the heart. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody say amen. I'd like you to note the following. What is found in your heart is the determinant of what you can find in your life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What is found in your heart or mind is a determinant of what can be found in your life. The meaning of it is, what is missing in your mind can't be found in your life. It's not possible for a possibility to be missing in your mind and then be found in your life. Secondly, the heart or the mind is the factory of destiny. Is the factory of destiny. Destiny is actually manufactured or processed from the heart. It's a factory of destiny. I grew up with a determination of the kind of life I would live and the kind of marriage and family I would have. It was so clear to me. I am not shocked. I determined that my children will have the kind of life I never had. Or that what I saw as a child, my children will never experience. What my mother saw as a wife, my wife will never experience. It was a concluded finality. Any love I never experienced, my children will never experience it. What is lacking in your heart can't be found in your life. I've said this again, but it bears repeating. And that gives us number three. What crosses your mind determines what crosses your life. The Bible said, it came into the heart of Moses to visit his brothers in Egypt. What crosses your heart determines what crosses your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What is occurring to you determines what can be occurring for you. Let me say it again. Let me say the fourth thing that you need to know. Until the mind is transformed, life is never upgraded. It's a transformed mind that is an upgraded life. The Bible said concerning the prodigal son, when he came to himself, He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat, and I am dying here of hunger? I will arise. When he came to his senses, he came to his changes. Someone say amen. Someone say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. It takes a transformed mind to have an upgraded life. If life is at a level now, begin to get it transformed, renewed by a different set of thinking. No, it is possible. No, I cannot. The limitations of my father's house can't affect me. No, I am connected to the kingdom. No. My father did not understand what I am understanding now. He doesn't have access to the scriptures I have now. So my life cannot be like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What happens in you is more important than what happens around you. Take your seat. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So mentality, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me say this as number 5 or 6. The level of your thought determines the level of your life. You know, my father owned luxury buses as we grew up. Luxury buses that you know. In my form 5 secondary school, after I finished around form 5 there, I told him, I said, can you allow me to join the buses? Just follow the bus. And do bus work. So he said, go ahead. So I joined the bus, joined the driving team, the team of bus and conductor and all that. And I followed the bus. We used to travel from Benue to Lagos, Lagos to Kano, Lagos to Kaduna. The motor park was the office. When you come to the motor park, the quality of their thinking and the quality of their talk is motopark quality. That was when it dawned on me that nobody is anywhere by chance. You see matured adults talking like babies. Content of mind, zero. Content of talk, zero. Plane draft. Some whiling away with drink. Everybody that passed, there's a comment. Girl, man, everything. Say, low quality. When you come around people and you see how they think and you see how they talk, you can measure their life's level. Somebody say amen. You cannot want to be global and think local. Local mentality establishes you in the locality. Global mentality makes you a global personality. Am I communicating at all? So change your mind. Is that Augustine? Okay. That was my classmate of 1975. Hallelujah. I
I don't know when last I saw.
Hallelujah. Just localizes you. Beloved, today, I announce to you, you will not fail. I declare the renovation of somebody's mentality right now. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. I declare the renovation of someone's mentality right now. Shout the loudest amen. What did I say about mentality so far? Can you go over it and then I go to point? What is found in your heart? Yes. What was the last point with it? The level of your thought determines the level of your life. Number six. Mindset determines outcome. The end is determined by the mind. Mindset determines outcome. The end is determined by the mind. Mindset determines outcome. The end is determined by the mind. And number seven says that vision affects destination. The vision of today is the guarantee of the destination of tomorrow. Vision affects destination. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 37, and in verse 3, all the way to verse 9, we saw how he kept on seeing visions. He kept on seeing visions. He kept on seeing his future. And he found himself there. Somebody say a loud amen. So consciously begin to change your mind. Begin to change your mind in terms of where you want to see yourself. In terms of what you think your life should be. In terms of where you think you should be found. Gradually and suddenly, you will find yourself there. Say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the Lord must say amen. Somebody say amen like a believer. Force number three is the force of company. That is in terms of who is around you. The force of company. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. It said, iron sharpens iron. 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Company. Let me say some things to you about your company. Company sharpens character. Iron sharpeneth iron. Company sharpens character. Character determines destiny. We'll get to that later. It sharpens character. Good or bad,
Second, company affects mindset, which affects outcome. It affects your mindset. I just told you of the motor park now. It affects your mindset. You hang around doctors who think like a doctor. Hang around lawyers who think like a lawyer. Hang around criminals who think like a criminal. Mindset. You hang around paupers, you think like paupers. You hang around pessimistic people, you think pessimism. Those who don't think anything is possible. You hang around audacious people. You hang around optimistic, positivistic people. And you are optimistic, you are positivistic, you are enthusiastic. That is raw injection. Positivism, optimism, enthusiasm. You are just a bundle of energy. Momentum moving. You understand what I'm talking about? You cannot hang around a company where we are, Bishop Adebo. You can't be in such a company and be lethargic and retarded. And be negativistic and pessimistic. You can't be. So it affects your mindset. Your thinking is changed. What made you think that somebody should dare a 100,000 seat sanctuary? Because I saw 50,000 seat auditorium overflooded and began to run multiple services in my eyes. I saw when it started. So the possibilities were just there. And then I said, instead of starting where you have to begin to look for room later, let's start mega. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And now they have so overgrown that place that a new one is in construction now. A new one is in construction now. That is why you should be careful who you call friend. They can turn your giant vision into a dwarf. You understand? Your vision was giant. They talk to you until they dwarf it. Who told you this can be done? Who told you this can be achieved? Whoever achieved it, they'll begin to tell you financial considerations. They'll begin to tell you statutory considerations. If we are to follow considerations, we won't be here. We won't be here now. In terms of the capacity of sanctuary that is approvable, we won't be here. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Your company affects your mindset. Don't say you will change their mind. If they are not thinking like you, find your level. When somebody is lying down and you are standing up, between you pulling him up and him pulling you down, which one is easier? He is lying down, gravity is in his favor. He who is already falling needs no fear of fall. You are on your feet. You are more unstable than him. He is in his state of rest. He easily pulls you to his level. Easily. Please be liberal with love, but be selective with relationship. Did you hear what I just said? Be liberal with love. Love liberally. Be liberal with love. Don't walk about with hate. Love people liberally, but relate with people selectively. Take your seat.
What did we say? What was the last point we said about company? Company affects mindset, which affects outcome. Number four, your association, okay, your company affects your action steps, and that affects your outcome. It affects your action steps. It affects your outcome. Your company affects your action steps, and that affects your outcome. Most of us do things like our friends. Human beings are creatures of habit and creatures of influence. Easily, how many of you the last time you were in the room, somebody began to yawn? And before you know it, just try it one day. Even don't feel like yawning. Just try to start yawning repeatedly. The person around you will yawn now. That is the mysterious power of human influence. Your friend begins to change your dress pattern, comes without your notice. Change your every pattern without your notice. That is, anybody you don't want to be like, give them space. Anybody you are not trying to become like, give them distance. Finally, that will be number three or four. Association, your company, affects your safety. Association affects preservation. The preservation of life, the preservation of destiny. There are people who have died other people's deaths because of the wrong company. Hallelujah. Concerning friendship, company, and relationship, be deliberate, be intentional. Pursue the right relationship. Flee the wrong relationship. Did you hear what I said? Pursue the right relationship. Flee. One of my brothers used to tell me, he said, I'm so glad that I am related to you. He said, but if I was not related to you, I would have pursued you until I became your friend. But I'm happy I'm related to you. You pursue the right influence, whether it's especially mentoral, especially spiritual covering kind of influence. You pursue the right relationship. Like Elisha pursued Elijah. Like Joshua remained with Moses. But you flee from the wrong as company, so your destiny is not corrupted. There are many people who could have been far better than what they are today, if not for who is in around them in their lives. Money comes, they start talking of drinking, start talking womanizing, start talking all manner of things, because that is the kind of friends he has. The end of it, destiny destroyed. There are people whose marriages have scattered because of who is their friend. Say, woman, don't trust woman, even if it's your wife. All manner of upside down insight. And then the man is just in crisis at home. He sees his wife as a witch. Because a friend is telling him. He's telling him such stories. Children, arm's length. Wife, arm's length. That will never be your portion. Number four was company, and we saw the influence of company in the life of Jesus and his disciples. Now, number four is responsibility. There is a way I define responsibility in the first service, and I want us to look at it. Very, very exciting. Please place it back so I don't reinvent the wheel in that capacity. Now, we said responsibility is the ability to respond appropriately and accurately to the demands of life. You respond appropriately.
That is, you are up in response. Responding appropriately, responding accurately to the demands of life. Secondly, we said responsibility is living in proactivity. You are proactive. You are not reactive. You are not waiting to react. You are in the arena of action. You live in the arena of action. Not in the valley of reaction. You don't wait for things to happen before you react. You make things happen. Number three, we said, responsibility is the timely confrontation of tasks that need attention. The tasks that require attention. You confront them in a timely manner. And then, responsibility is the refusal of the blame game. You don't look for who to blame. You hold yourself responsible. You hold yourself accountable for what went right or wrong. And finally, responsibility is aversion to excuses. You don't give, you don't take. What must be done. You don't give it, you don't take it. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. I read Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. You say, what thing soever your hand finds to do, you do it with your might. Acts chapter 20 verse, I believe it's in verse 20. Paul the apostle speaking, he said, I have kept nothing back that was profitable. I've showed you. I've taught you publicly. And from house to house. I'd like you to take note of the following about responsibility. First, the acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of destiny. Inside in the course of discharging your responsibility, you fulfill your destiny. Ask David, he will tell you. By bringing down Goliath, accepting that responsibility, he fulfilled his destiny. Secondly, the acceptance of responsibility opens the door to the world of opportunity. It opens the door to the world of opportunity. There are opportunities you will never get until responsibility is accepted. I give you an example. In Genesis chapter 40 and in verse 5 to verse 8, Joseph was in the prison and he saw two men sad, the butler and the baker. Why are you sad? He asked them. And they said, we have dreamed dreams and nobody could interpret. And he said, I will interpret your dreams for you. In the course of interpreting the dream, he was linked to Pharaoh, who brought him out of prison later. Am I communicating? The door of opportunity. Moses was by the well when the daughters of Jethro came to water their father's flock, and the shepherds were confronting them. And Moses moved to confront the shepherds on their behalf. Allow these girls to fetch water. That was how Moses at that time was homeless, jobless, wifeless, childless. The children went home and talked to their father, and the father said, how are you so quick to return? They said, a stranger helped us. And where is the stranger? Call him home. He got a wife, got a job, got a house, got a child, by accepting responsibility. Am I communicating at all? It takes the extra mile to see the extraordinary. If you will agree to go the extra mile in doing things, nobody is paying you to do it. Other people are avoiding to do it. But you know this must be done. And you go the extra mile to do things, you will see the extraordinary. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was coming out of commanding the day midnight prayer. And the lady, where is the lady? Was seated with some men and crying out to me and saying, I can't walk. I said, what happened? She said she woke up in the morning and suddenly got paralyzed. The leg was as stiff as metal and bent like this. It's what you typically call spastic paralysis. Bent and twisted. What are the men that were with you? A Muslim girl brought you. For one reason or the other, I was so angry. Somebody was started record. They didn't record it from the beginning because everybody was shocked. I was so angry. This one is too late now. By this time, she's already moving the leg. In the name of Jesus, leave her. For me, I wasn't going to go home if she didn't walk. Well, you are seeing it happening.
The two legs could not stand on the ground.
The two legs were like this, curved. That's the same person standing here. No, that's the same person standing here. She's crying now. How did the people bring you?
I came on bike. I couldn't walk. I was here on one of our vigil, prayer band vigil, which was my first time. And after the night vigil, last week, after the night vigil when I got home, I had an attack where somebody came to me and said, so you have the mind to go and report me, and gave me a cut on my neck. And immediately when I woke up, I prayed. I went back to sleep again. And somebody came and gave me food.
The attack came, and that led to the paralysis, because we're in the middle of the message right now. And came with that spastic paralysis. It is easy to say, be healed, and then I walk home. Afterward, it was midnight. But there was an anger.
You can describe how it was. Sit on this chair, just...
There was an anger. See the leg?
Yes, like that. Strong.
Stiff, unbendable. Unbendable.
And when she was asked to stand, she could only like stand on the toes.
Held up by people. Held up by people.
Two people are holding her on both sides.
I woke up, I found myself in front of me moving, and I was following somebody like me in front of me. I was moving. When I woke up, I saw myself going, and I woke up, I opened the gate. I was following myself. And one woman called me and said, Sister Blessing. That was when I got to know myself.
In the name of Jesus, every strange arrow fired at any time to paralyze or kill you before your time, these arrows are retrieved and refired back to hell. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you shall fulfill your days. The purpose of God for your life shall be fulfilled.
Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Responsibility. Winston Churchill said that responsibility is a price for greatness. I want to say the final things. I think this will be point number 5. That God moves with movers. He walks with walkers. Show me a man who moves. He provokes the move of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Show me a man who moves. God moves with movers. He walks with walkers. Talking about not lazy people sitting down waiting for things to happen by themselves. People who are aggressive in walking. Working things out. Responsibility number 5 is quality. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Here is a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men." Daniel chapter 6, verse 2. The Bible talked about Daniel and the spirit over this president of whom Daniel. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I want to say 3 things about quality. First of all, people of quality end up as people in authority. People of quality, we saw Daniel, they end up as people in authority. Second, quality attracts quantity. Whether it's the quantity of opportunities, quantity of resources, quantity of anything. Quality brings quantity. Quantity. Third, excellence will give you eminence. Excellence brings eminence. Eminent people, in the true sense of the word, are those who have excelled in most places of life. Number 4. Average impute equals mediocre outcome. When you see a man, when it is time to do something, he just does it partially. He doesn't give the best. It is mediocre outcome. Mediocre outcome. Finally, if the top is your desire, the best must be your delivery. If you desire the top, you must deliver the best. If the top is your desire, the best must be your delivery. We saw in the life of David, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and in verse 18, they were looking for the best instrumentalist in Israel, and David qualified as the best. And that took him to the palace. I take authority over the spirit of mediocrity, average existence. I arrest it. I declare it return back to hell. In Jesus' name. I was a member of the board of regents of the Covenant University. That is Living Faith Church University. I also happen to be the current chancellor of the Wesley University, that's the Methodist Church's University in Nigeria. And I had two experiences. That's Methodist Church takes you, a Pentecostal man, as the president of your university. I think that says something, right? Two experiences I had during the graduation of Covenant University. Many of the children who graduated with first class, they were asked to come and receive a handshake from the chancellor, that Bishop David Oyedepo, on behalf of the rest. Did you hear that? On behalf of the rest. Handshake with such a person is not congratulation, it is impartation. Can anybody receive your impartation for you? That was how it happened. Impartation. Then the last graduation convocation at Wesley University. All the people that graduated with first class, all of them, I placed them on a particular amount from my pocket for all of them for graduating with first class. Hallelujah. That is what excellence does for you. It places you in a realm that is just above your contemporaries. People may hate it, but if you hate it, be it. Somebody say a loud amen. Some people think that where we are today, we are here by accident. Let God lead you to do a 14, let's start with 10 days of drinking only water and praying 7 hours minimum a day. After you have done that, then let's start talking. They think things happen by accident. I remember a year that I read 40 chapters a day. 40 chapters a day. That finished the Bible every month. I don't know how long I went. That is every month, Genesis to Revelation has finished. Hallelujah. You cannot put in average and not get out excellence. I mean, you cannot put in average and get out excellence. It's not possible. Let's trust God for quality. Number 6, urgency. Psalm 90 and in verse 12. Psalm 90 and in verse 12. The Bible said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Because of time, let me say two things. One, it takes the sense of urgency to cover vast grounds and make great strides in life. To cover vast grounds and make great strides, you require the sense of urgency. Because we don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. If you intend to cover grounds and make strides, You cannot be sluggish. Second, urgency is the secret of impact. Impact. You carry the bullet with the hand and throw it on the lion. He eats you raw. But put it in a high velocity rifle and fire it from there. Instant devastation. Impact. Answers to urgency. Thirdly, urgency under God's destiny. I don't have so much time because our time is almost gone. The difference between Phares and Zara was urgency. Zara brought out his hand. The midwife tied the scarlet rope. He pulled back his hand. Phares shot out with speed. And he became the transgenerational carrier of grace. Look at the Master Jesus, John chapter 9, verse 4. See what he said. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Jesus did in 3.5 years what the whole world cannot recover from because of urgency. Look at Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Run, run, run. Somebody say after me, say, Father, I reject every spirit of laziness, of procrastination, of time wastage. I reject in the name of Jesus. Give me the grace to act on time. In Jesus' precious name. How many of you know that in chemistry, the reactions are time sensitive? There are times you need to add certain things, otherwise you won't get the end state title. You won't get it. Very, very time sensitive. Most things about life are time sensitive. And he makes all things beautiful only in his time. When the time passed, it's no longer beautiful. Your time will not pass. Your time will not pass. And finally, it's integrity. Integrity. Psalm 5 and in verse 12. Thou, Lord, would bless the righteous. With favor will you compass them about as with a shield. You will bless the righteous. Righteousness first is the foundation for blessedness. If your life and your destiny is going to see blessing from above, righteousness. Second, righteousness is a magnet of favor. It's a magnet of favor. God favors you. Life favors you when character is in place. Thirdly, integrity under God's authority. Proverbs 28 verse 1. The righteous are bold as a lion. Integrity under God's authority. The authority of your destiny. You see, the character of the eagle doesn't taste corruption. So is the king of the birds. See, the character of the lion, he doesn't eat garbage. So is the king of the wild. He's the king of the wild. Righteousness under God's authority. And finally, number 4, holiness of life guarantees wholesomeness of destiny. when a person's destiny is wholesome. Holiness of life. Beloved brothers and sisters, anything that tempers with your conscience, run away from it. Anything that tempers with your relationship with God, run away from it. Anything that we do that is a hurt or a harm to fellow human beings, run away from it. So that your destiny can be intact. Somebody say a loud amen. So we have looked at seven forces of destiny this morning. The first, number one, is what? Please talk back to me. Number one is what? Number one is what? Spirituality. Those of you, the camera is showing now, you are not talking. So can we all speak now? Number one is what? Number two, mentality. Number three, company. Number four, responsibility. Number five, quality. Number six, urgency. Number seven, integrity. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Give the Lord a shout of victory. A bigger, bigger shout of victory. Loudest shout of victory. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords. Appreciate the I Am that I Am. Appreciate the Rose of Sharon. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. I'd like us to take the prayer lines of the first service. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Lift your hands after and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
1 minute, 30 seconds. Say, Father,
Father,
I come before you, today, as I receive the grace and the empowerment to fulfill your purpose for my life. I receive the grace and empowerment to become everything you want me to be. I receive it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, I come before you as I receive the grace and the empowerment to fulfill your purpose for my life. I receive the grace and empowerment to become everything you want me to become. I receive it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Precious name.
Amen.
We're going to pray the second prayer. Say, Father,
Father,
I receive the grace.
You know, we say spirituality is our root. And our spirituality includes working for God, includes living for God, includes soul winning.
Say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I receive the grace,
to walk for you,
to live for you,
to
seek the Lord,
and to become
who you want me to become, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, Father,
Father,
I receive the grace
to walk
for you, to live
for
you,
to
seek the Lord,
to
become who you want me to become, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. name of Jesus.
Amen.